Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 91 of Generation GC. Thank You, Mom, from Good Charlotte, the band's self-titled debut album released in 2000. My guest today is Jordan Hayek. Once again, and as always, my name is Molly Huddleston. I'm your host, as well as the producer, creator, and editor of this podcast. Last time, before our break, we had a bonus episode where we talked about My Immortal, the iconic and infamous Harry Potter fanfiction that featured several emo goth alternative bands, including Good Charlotte. On our next episode, we'll be talking about a song from The Young and the Hopeless. And if you're listening to this episode on the day it comes out, Sunday, May 8th, 2022, I know what you're thinking. But Molly, it's not Wednesday. You usually release new episodes on Wednesdays. And you are correct. But I decided to release this episode as a surprise special episode because today is Mother's Day, and what better time to release an episode on Thank You Mom than Mother's Day. Jordan and I had a really wonderful time talking about the song, as well as sharing some memories with our own mothers and things about our family and our relationships with our families. And of course, I have to dedicate this episode to my mom, Patty. She's really wonderful mom. She's such a great role model for me and my siblings. She takes such great care of me, and I love you, Mom, and I'm so excited to see you for lunch today. I know a lot of you listening to this show are parents, so I wanted to wish a happy Mother's Day to you. Happy, happy Mother's Day. I hope you can enjoy it with our families. Of course, I do also want to acknowledge that for some people, Mother's Day is really difficult. If you need to take today to rest, if you want to come back to this episode another time, or if you just want to skip it and catch Gen GC the next time we put out an episode, that's totally fine. Please make sure you're taking care of yourself. That's the most important thing always. Now, this is, of course, our first episode after a break. The next episode isn't coming just yet. It's going to be a few weeks away. It'll come to you in the beginning of June, but you know, again, the timing for this release was just absolutely perfect. I talked to Jordan about it. It was like, I really want to get an episode up on Mother's Day. I hope I can get it done in time. And I did. So yay, super excited. I also wanted to say that I love having guests from all around the world and from all different backgrounds on Generation GC. If English isn't your first language, that's okay. As long as you're comfortable holding a conversation in English, you're good to go. And different backgrounds doesn't just mean location or ethnicity. It means ensuring a varied gender and sexuality representation and representing fans of different ages and fans with their own unique life experiences of any sort. So hey, if you're listening to this and you want to come on the show, hit me up, reach out. You can reach me on social media at GenerationGCPod, P-O-D, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can also email me, GenerationGCPod, P-O-D, at gmail.com. Finally, Generation GC stickers are here. If you do want a sticker, what you're going to do is go to anchor.fm/generationGCpod and click support. All that money goes right back into making the show the best that it can be. It helps me print and ship the stickers. Also helps me get the equipment that I need to record and release and edit the show. So you're going to support the show, and then you're going to send me a screenshot of your support, as well as your mailing address. You can reach out to me on social media at GenerationGCPod, P-O-D, or email GenerationGCPod@gmail.com, and I will send you some stickers. Thank you for tuning in, and now on to episode 91. So today we are talking about Thank You, Mom, which is the final track on Good Charlotte's debut album, Good Charlotte, released in 2000. On the original version of the CD, it was like a bonus track, like after Change, which was, I think, track 13 on the original version. On the deluxe version of the CD, which had the click, and they changed the cover for the deluxe version, it was just a GC logo instead of the photo of the band. It was also a bonus track after Change, which was track 14. It was like a hidden track. That was, I mean, Jordan, do you remember? I feel like that was a big thing around that time, like hidden tracks at the end of an album.
And they are notorious for hidden tracks, well, which I love.
Yeah. Wounded being another example.
Yes. Yeah. And that one's really good too. Yes.
Yeah. But on Spotify, if you go on Spotify right now, which just going to mention this briefly because I just posted this on Twitter yesterday, but the Spotify version of the album is the original version, and the click is not on Spotify.
I saw you post that yesterday. I had never realized that. I went and looked at it. I'm like, what? My mind's blown. What?
Whatever we need to do to get the click on Spotify.
Yeah.
I will lead this campaign. Like, I work in marketing. I mean, I can lead this campaign. I can figure it out.
Yeah, it's happening.
But I mentioned Spotify because on Spotify, Thank You Mom is a separate track after Change. So it's track 14 on Spotify. Thank You Mom was not a single. It has apparently been played live a few times. Setlist.fm lists two performances from 2001, but we'll talk about like some comments later, but I was reading comments and a couple of people were talking about, oh, I saw them play this acoustic. So it seems like this was something they'd occasionally pull out acoustically, but only kind of early on. Like it wasn't really a mainstay. And I think this was only ever, I get the impression this was only ever like acoustically performed.
Yeah.
Don Gilmore produced the album and mixed most of it at Encore Studios. However, Thank You Mom was mixed by Tom Lord-Alge at South Beach Studios in Miami. And Tom Lord-Alge mixed a few other songs on this album. And he's an interesting one to name because if you're listening to this, I promise you know some of the other artists he's worked with. Just to name a few, U2, The Rolling Stones, Pink, Avril Lavigne, Blink-182, Newfound Glory. So, I mean, there was a bunch of others. I was like, let me just name a few like super massive, more mainstream artists, and then a few in this like kind of pop punk sphere. I promise anyone listening to this knows some stuff Tom Lord-Alge's bits. Like,
yes.
But yeah, we have a lot to talk about with Thank You Mom. But Jordan, first, I want to help our guests get to know you.
All right.
And the first thing I like to ask my guests is, when did you first hear Good Charlotte and what were your first thoughts on them?
So I actually have a pretty clear memory of the first time I heard Good Charlotte. I was driving with, it was my best friend's older sister and one of her really close friends. We were all driving to like the mall, had this cool little fair going on. And so we were driving there. And they were like, oh, we just saw this band live. And this was when their first album, when this EP came out, basically. And so they were like, we just heard this band and they're awesome. And so they put them on. And I was just like, I think like I was into the Spice Girls before.
Spice Girls was like,
yeah, I know. I
saw even before like, Good Charlotte.
Yeah, but I was into like, and I was into some rock music. Like, I feel like I had heard Creed and all that stuff, but like nothing hit me like this did. I was like, oh my gosh, what genre is this? And then I was like, and as I delved, like went into the albums more and said like, well, they only had that one at the time, but as I got like more into the tracks and everything, I just fell in love. So yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I love it. And I love that you mentioned Spice Girls because prior to Good Charlotte, I mean, Good Charlotte's like my first, really my only ever like favorite band, but it was Spice Girls, Ricky Martin, 18s for me were the few. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I also like to ask everyone, have you ever seen Good Charlotte live?
Five times, actually.
Amazing.
Yes. I have a story about one of the times. It was the coolest time. So it was a cute acoustic here in Omaha.
Cool.
And so they were playing an acoustic show and it was kind of like certain people like got to meet them and stuff. Well, I heard about it very late. And so I was like, I have to go to this. And it was sold out. Apparently you couldn't buy any more tickets. So I was so sad, but I saw one of the radio guys on it was MySpace back then, I think. And so he was like, I messaged him and he was like, if you can get our page 100 likes before the show, you can go. I literally did it. Like I made sure I did it.
So
And then I got to actually like kind of meet and like talk to them for a second. Like just, I like shook their hand and just kind of like said hi and asked a couple questions, got pictures and stuff.
So cool. So when was this?
This would have been like right around September of 2009, right before Cardiology came out.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So that's when that's when this happened. And I was like 20, I want to say 21. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I think you're like a couple years older than me. So that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So cool. Yeah.
That was my best story, but I've seen them five other times. I've actually like met them kind of like three different times, but like a couple other times I made my friends like wait till the very end. I'm like, they have to come out at some point. We have to, like, that'd be so cool to meet them. We should. And so, yeah, so I would talk my friends into it and we would like see them come out and stuff. So that's cool.
So cool. Well, yeah. Jordan, we obviously have a lot of good Charlotte stuff to get into, but I also want to talk about your own music. You are a musician. I want to hear a little more about, like, you know, the type of music you make and what else do you feel like influences you?
So I feel like I've worked in a lot of different projects. I have never.
That's right. You're saying that.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, I haven't gotten into a band where everything just like all the members wanted to continuously stay playing music or doing that. And so that's kind of the hard part, but even solo, like I write music, and like, I kind of mix music. I'm not good at it yet. But I've written some of my own songs and, I think I'm pretty good. Like, writing lyrics is something I feel like I'm pretty good at, but I could use some work on like the different mixing and things like that. But
that's a hard skill. Yeah.
But I've been in a band called False Avidity. And actually at the very first show I went to for Good Charlotte, which was back, it was at Sokol in like 2006. And at that show one time I was like, we're in this band False Avidity. Like, you gotta hear. And this was like, my first band was like a metal band, which is an interesting fact about me.
Cool. Because
kind of metal at least. There were some musical differences there. I was like, let's do a little less metal. And a lot of the band wanted to go more metal. So that's kind of why one reason that band fell apart. But yeah, we were all excited about it and hyped up about it. And it's funny because they have Madden Co. now. And like, we were already, they didn't even have that at the time. We were like, you should listen to Possibility. Yeah. We're on MySpace. Yeah.
It was I never was really in a band, but I used to, you know, I was friends with a lot of local bands, especially in college. I mean, I'm still friends with some local bands, but especially in college, like I would have like demo CDs of like my friends' bands that I would just like keep in my purse when I went to shows. And I would just like, you know, I handed Jordan from Newfound Glory. I handed him a CD of, you know, my friend's band, like whatever I could. I was like, you have to listen to this. They're so good.
Yeah. It's so good. I promise. I know. Like, how many times have they probably heard that? A lot. But
yeah.
But it's awesome. We gotta try, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm curious about like the Omaha scene. I mean, is there like a pretty vibrant music scene going on?
Yes, actually, I would say so. I mean, more than what people expect, I guess, is what I would say. Like, went for a while, and I wish I should like start doing this again. I actually moved out of Omaha, so I'm not as close. But
okay,
we were having like singer songwriter nights, and there was a studio called Black Dagger Studio, and we kind of just got all the artists in Omaha together. And that was pretty. I met a lot of people at that time, and this was probably back like, I want to say like 6 to 7 years ago. So but I met a lot of friends that I've stayed in contact with, and one of the girls, Jocelyn, she is on the singer songwriter contest, the show with Kelly Clarkson and Snoop Dogg.
That is so cool.
She's on that right now. Yes. So she's on it, and I met her at one of those nights, and she's amazing. And she was so kind to me and said a bunch of nice things about my music that night. And so I just like hold that in my heart. I'm like, that's so cool. And now she deserves all the good things. Like, she is such a good person and her songs are amazing. So yeah, listen to Jocelyn from Omaha.
Oh my God. That's so cool. I feel like, I mean, obviously, like, I have a different experience not being a musician, but I've seen just a couple bands that, like, you know, I used to see Save Face play in, like, you know, my friend's basement in New Jersey, and then now they're on tour with the Wonder Years, which is so cool.
So like, cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Very
cool. No, it's super cool. Quick question. I have another, a couple other questions, not just about Omaha, but just a little detour. There's a vegan chef, Isa Chandra Moskowitz, and I think she had like the Post Punk Kitchen. I think that was her website, but she has a restaurant in Omaha. like a vegan restaurant in Omaha that's supposed to be like super good. And I wish I remembered the name.
I wish I knew. I should know, and I don't, but I haven't heard of it yet. I'll have to look it up. You told me your name, so I can look it up later.
Yeah. Yeah. I know her place in Brooklyn, I think, is Modern Love, I want to say.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah. But yeah, I have one of her cookbooks. She's been around like forever, making like vegan recipes. Her cookbook's great, but it's like, it's one of those like, okay, if I'm doing this, like this is going to take like 2 hours. Like,
yeah.
It's not a simple thing. Well, before we dive into Thank You Mom, I did want to ask, you know, you were telling me that, you know, obviously music's a big part of your life. I know that you work at a bank, but you also had told me that you love animals. So I was really curious, do you have any pets?
Yes. A dog named Bindi.
Bindi?
She's awesome. Yeah. Bindi.
Yep. Oh, that's so cute. What kind of dog is she?
She's an Australian, shepherd / blue heeler.
Oh,
so she's a cutie. I think I, on one of your Twitter comments the other day, I posted.
You did. That's right. I tweeted the other day on my personal Twitter. I tweeted like, I was just like, if you're reading this, like post a picture of your dog. And there's a dog in my building that I think is a similar kind of mix.
Yeah.
Really sweet, but like very high energy, right?
Oh yeah, she is. Totally is. Which is good. I love taking her for walks and things like that. So yeah.
Amazing. Well, I love learning about your music and the Omaha scene and your dog, but let's go into Thank You Mom. So, I mean, Jordan, we were back and forth on Twitter, like I said, for a while, you know, and just been a matter of like figuring out the right song and the timing and everything. But what stuck out to you about Thank You Mom?
Well, one of the things that like, it was on the album that I obviously first listened to. So one of the things that made me like really connect with Good Charlotte is my mom would always say, you know, when I'll love you always. And then she would say, do you know how long forever? And so like, they were saying that about their mom.
Song and, oh,
yeah.
That's
yeah. So,
sweet.
So like there was a song and I was like, this is just kind of weird. I was like, that's like what she always said to us, like right before bed, like every night she would
say
that.
So sweet.
And, yeah. And so I was like, I heard that in the song and I was just like, that's how it starts. So I'm just like, wow, this is pretty cool. And then it just got better and better because I think it drew me to the band because of the fact that, you know, they had someone in their life who just taught them everything. And mm-hmm. I thought that, I mean, you know, granted they had struggles, obviously.
Yeah. Which are evident in, I mean, the whole album, you know?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes. And the next one for sure. Young and Hopeless.
I mean, their whole discography, really. You know?
Yeah,
but also, like, in this song, I feel like they even kind of point to, like, you can kind of tell that it was Molly's easy for them.
Right. And I think, and I love that this is, like, the bright side of it, though. It's, like, the being so grateful that they had someone there that showed them how to be a good person and, you know, helped guide them in their life. And I think that's so cool. And I think that's how I feel about my parents. Granted, like, my parents are still together, but I just feel like sometimes I just look at the things they do and I'm like, they really did that for me too. And I think that's why I connect with the song so much. I'm just like,
yeah,
those are the best parts of, like, if you're ever upset with your mom or dad, like those are the best. This song is like the best song to go back to and be like, yeah, but you've done all these things for me. And the weird thing, here's another thing about this song, the like hearing the dishes clink in the kitchen sink, like while she's singing, like that's something that, like, I remember when I was little, I took so much comfort in hearing that, like as I'm like falling asleep, I'm like, it's just like comforting to have
just
that
hearing your parents
noise.
Kind of moving around the
kitchen.
Like
that's one of the best parts of like thinking back to growing up years is just like, yeah, those little comforts.
It was weird for me. So I mean I graduated college in 2013, but I didn't like move out and get my own apartment till 2017 because I had, you know, I went on tour a bunch and I had knee surgery. And I was just kind of like figuring stuff out. But when I finally moved into my own apartment, it was like, I didn't just, and it, like, I was really grateful to like have my own space and set it up how I want and blast music whenever I want. But it was kind of weird, like not ever hearing anybody like moving around and washing dishes or like putting the shower on. And like,
I know
it was weird. I am so grateful that I was able to live alone for a few years, but it's nice like living with someone now. It's really nice.
Yeah. I get that. I do. Yeah. And Yeah, and but it's one of those things that like takes you back to home and just like but makes you comfortable and you know helps mm-hmm. you fall asleep, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
You sleep better.
Yeah. I'm a little curious, like, and I want to get into in a second, I want to get into like what we think the song is about, but I'm a little curious like why it was a hidden track, like a bonus track. I mean, I know that, I don't know, I guess that's just kind of a thing bands did around this time. That was a really popular thing, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like it gives really nice context and like wraps up the album in a really nice way.
It does. It does. I think to me, they made it a hidden track. So they're like, only our diehard fans are going to know, like the people who leave this on, mm-hmm. our diehard fans are going to know, you know, what our life is like, just a glimpse in. I think it was more like, this is something to delve into if, you know, if you really like, they kind of hide little gems for like their diehard fans, the fans that are always there and like, you know, their cars full of people, like they do it for the, you know, the people who.
Yeah. I think something I think about too, and we'll talk about this more when we get into some of the reviews, but like this album is like extremely vulnerable, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it's not like trying to put on any kind of front. Like this is just like, it is so like brazen, just so out there and how vulnerable it is in some ways. And if you think about it, this song is like extremely vulnerable and personal,
mm-hmm.
but like almost in some ways, almost more so than, you know, some of the angrier songs. Cause it can be really hard to like be vulnerable about positive things, I think. And this is a very positive song.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think like it's kind of the Cure got people into like boys being able to express themselves. Like it should be a thing. Like I think we're like gravitating towards a better version of life where like guys can express themselves but more
22 openly years and, ago
yeah,
and,
yeah
you know
yeah yeah that's what I mean yeah. Yeah, and I think they were like, this is a bit of a vulnerable song, let's kind of tuck it at the end, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Well, let's
but I love it.
I love it too. Yeah,
yeah.
let's talk about what this song means. I mean, I'm curious, Jordan, like what's your interpretation of this song?
Like I said, I mean, I just think, I think it was them taking a moment to express themselves about how much they cared about being a good person and like just being, they wanted their mom to be really thanked in a way. And I think this was like their thank you to their mom. Like, thanks for getting us through that so we can do what we're doing today.
Yeah.
And which it just keeps growing, like what they're doing with their lives and things like that. They keep expanding and doing even more. But this song just is a great staple to go back and be like, man, this all is happened because you were there for us too. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's, I mean, look, this song's like, I think it's pretty straightforward. There's not really any metaphor here. Like they're expressing their gratitude towards their mom. But you know, I think about like, you know, their dad gets, and I say there to clarify, I mean Benji and Joel's dad. But he is mentioned several times on this album. And the only other time they really mention their mom is in Little Things. When they say the time mom went to the institute because she kept breaking down. So it's like in that song, the only like really, we get this like little glimpse of like, oh wow, like their mom, you know, was struggling.
Going
she was having
it.
A difficult time. She needed some help, and clearly that was like tough on her, you know, her sons. I think this is just trying to show that. Okay, she was really supportive. She filled a really important role in their lives, and they really cherished that.
Right. I mean, I think like we all just go through different struggles, and I think like, you know, through the album they are talking about all the different struggles and how they overcome the struggles too.
Yes.
And I think this song, I think this song was just the more vulnerable side of like the thank you and the like. No matter how tough we are, like we have this thank you mom song and
I want to take a second to discuss What place does a song about loving your mom have on a punk or pop punk album?
You know, it's funny because going like this is just a random side note thing that popped in my head, but the tattoo, the I love mom like tattoo, the heart, yeah, it's funny.
Right, that you see on like the muscly song, like biker guys, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I think all pop punk band, all like, I mean, a lot of harder bands and things like that, even still like have a soft spot for the feminine roles in their life, like the women that are in their lives that kind of, you know, help balance them out or help be there for them and comfort them. And yeah.
Do you know, this makes me think of also like, seeing like, you know, muscled up or like really tattooed guys with like fluffy, tiny little dogs.
Yeah.
Do you know the band Vanna?
I've heard of Vanna, but I don't know a lot of their music.
So they're like hardcore, melodic hardcore, post-hardcore. I don't really know how to describe it, but yeah. I remember I've interviewed their singer, Davey, like probably cool. 4 or 5 times. And I remember the first time I interviewed him, I mean, he's not like super tall or anything, but he's like covered in tattoos. He's sings this like hardcore band. And one of the first things he says to me is that he's like, I have a little chihuahua. Her name is Beatrice. You want to see a picture? Just like showing that tenderness and it, you know, I mean,
you love to see it. Like,
yeah. And I feel like, you know, on the one hand, I'm like, this is what I have in my notes. It's like, on the one hand, it's, and I've mentioned this in even other episodes about the self-title, I think, but like, on the one hand, loving your mom and talking about how much you love your mom is like so uncool and like not punk. But on the other hand,
I
like,
think that's why I loved it though. I was like, they're not afraid. Like that's like the best.
They don't feel like they have to fit this mold of what a punk band is.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Right. It's like, unexpected, which like in a way almost makes it kind of punk, like that they're doing something that's like vulnerable and not expected.
Right. I love it.
But you know, this song, I wouldn't say this song sounds like a pop punk song, like, or a punk song. Like it, I don't know. To me, it sounds like, I think what I wrote was like easy listening acoustic almost, like acoustic guitars, some strings, sort of like gentle percussion. I don't know. So, I mean, easy listening acoustic is kind of like what I came up with as like a descriptor for this song.
Yeah. And I think that's why it was the hidden track. They're like, this doesn't necessarily sound like the rest of the album, but but they definitely needed it to be there. And I think it made people who really delved into their album, that made us even more excited. We're like, this is something, it's like punk in its own way.
It does take some elements from other songs on the album as I'm thinking about it. Like Seasons is acoustic, you know, first verse is acoustic. Then Change has that kind of like, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is like vibiness that you sort of get in some of the like instrumentation on Thank You Mom. So like, I don't know, as I'm like thinking about it a little more, I'm like, okay, it's not like totally out of left field.
No, that's true. Yeah. That's true. And I mean, those are both good songs too. So Seasons is up there on some of my favorites too.
Yeah. Well, so I want to get into the backstory of this song. And I will say there really was not a whole lot that specifically talked about this song. I mean, number one, there are not as many interviews around the first album that are online, just because that was like a little earlier and the band wasn't like as big yet. And number two, I mean, this was like a hidden track, so it's probably not something that like journalists would like necessarily think to ask a whole lot about. I believe the song was written by the twins, by Benji and Joel. But we are going to talk about another member of the band and how I think he relates to this too. And I'm going to reference a few quotes from this Rolling Stone article, The Polite Punks. It's called like Good Charlotte, The Polite Punks. It's from 2003. So Young and the Hopeless was out. It's by Christian Horde. And listeners, like, this was one of those articles that I've mentioned several times on this show. I think it is just one of the best things that's ever been written about Good Charlotte. Like, it gives so much context. And Jordan, if you haven't read this, like, the link is in there. I mean, just the whole article, it's such a great read. It's so fun.
Good. I will read it. Yeah.
So I'm going to start off with just kind of a fun quote from the article. So I guess Christian Horde, the interviewer, the writer, he is hanging out with the band. They're going to the mall that they grew up going to. As soon as we enter the mall this afternoon, Joel heads for a watch shop where he does something rare for a member of Good Charlotte. He spends money on himself, buying a $500 Fendi watch. As if ashamed by Joel's sudden splurge, Benji makes a peace offering to the god of good manners, buying a $100 watch for his mom.
Aww.
And I just thought that was really funny.
That is really funny.
Yeah. The next quote I'm going to read is actually from Billy talking about his own relationship with his mom. And I just thought this was also relevant to mention because I think
they're all thanking their moms in
a way. Exactly. Yeah, and, you know, twins might be a primary lyricists, but, you know, they're not the only ones in the band that are doing the writing, right?
Exactly.
After Benji mentions that an unnamed singer in a different band behaved like an asshole during the last Warped Tour, Martin delivers a lecture on the importance of humility. It just seems like common sense that when someone does something nice for you, to say thank you, he says. I don't know. Maybe it's because my parents were divorced. I was pretty much raised by my mom and my sister, so it's probably made me a little softer, you know? Benji concurs. There's no room for rock stars in this band. What's cool about shitting on people?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and I really like what Billy said about, you know, just being softer because he was raised by his mom and his sisters. I think that's really sweet.
That is really sweet. Yes. Yeah. I love that. And that's a fun story that I didn't know. So thank you.
Yeah. No, it's fun. This article is so great. And the last quote I'll read. There are, of course, many things about Good Charlotte that are not very punk, starting with the fact that they're really psyched about appearing on TRL. Thomas, Paul Thomas, still lives at home, and they all admit to loving their moms very, very much.
Oh.
A lot of people get a shitty deal. They got a fucked up dad, and then they have a shitty mom, Joel says. We got lucky. We had a fucked up dad, but a great mom. Besides writing her a thank you song on their first album, Benji and Joel bought her a house near Waldorf with their first big royalty checks.
That's awesome.
I thought that was really sweet.
I love that. Yes.
That was, I don't know if you, like, how much you were on, like, the fan sites back in the day, but I remember hearing when Good Charlotte got signed, first thing Benji and Joel did was they bought their mom a house.
I did. I saw it in an article somewhere.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool seeing like this little origin.
Yes, I agree. I love that. I'm going to read the article now. Yeah. I got to read the whole article.
It's such a great article.
Yes.
And I'll sidetrack a little bit. Like, I feel like back in the day, journalists would get the opportunity to, like, you know, spend like a day kind of hanging out with artists and like really write these cool pieces.
Yeah.
But nowadays it's just a lot less common for that to be able to happen. And it's so much more like journalists get, you know, 15, 30 minutes to sit down and it's, you know, just not the same.
No, it's not the same. Those were raw moments. They probably got like a lot of very genuine things to write about by spending a whole day with someone. You learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like that story about the watches, for example.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Well, I do want to take a second to share, you know, some like stories we have specifically about this song, but before we get into that, Jordan, like, I really want to take a few minutes just to reflect on our own mothers and, you know, maybe we could share some of our favorite memories or times with our mom. Do you want to share something?
Yes, of course I do. I'm trying to think. Like, I actually spend a lot of time with my mom right now. I feel like we spend a lot of time together. I don't know. I love, like, seeing her goofy side come out. Because she's not, like, a serious person, but it's always, like, when I do see her goofy side come out, that's my favorite time of being with my mom, for sure. Yeah. I am trying to think of, like, a specific memory. I just, even going through Target with her is fun. Like, one time, jokingly, she had, like, a Starbucks, which she never drinks Starbucks. I kind of, like, talked her into getting one. So she's, like, drinking a Starbucks with this fancy hat on. And we, like, sent it to my brother. Yeah, pretty funny. That was a fun memory. I feel like a lot of times at my parents, we'll put, like, make a fire pit and just put on some Tom Petty and listen to that and just enjoy the fire pit and couple beers. Yeah. those are some of my favorite memories with both my parents, I guess.
Yeah.
But how about you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm very grateful. You know, as you mentioned as well, like, my parents are still together. They've been very happily married. I think this is 34 years, coming up on 34 years.
Yeah, about the same as mine too.
And that, you know, that has given me, like, a really good role model of, like, what a relationship should look like, right? And how you can still be, you know, together and happy with someone for, I mean, 34 years married, but, you know, longer than that they've, you know, been together. Something that sticks out to me, like, is, this was in seventh grade, like, I was having trouble at school, like, just a lot of, like, mean girls, right? And, like, like, seventh grade girls being mean and, like, ostracizing me and dropping me from the friend group and everything. To kind of condense it, like, it blew up. It was, you know, a whole thing. Like, me and one of the girls got pulled to the guidance counselor at school. I think this was a Friday. And then it was, like, that Monday, whatever the next school day was, my mom pulled me out of school for a day, and we went shopping, and we saw Mean Girls, because Mean Girls was in theaters right then. It had, like, just come out. And, you know, look, obviously my parents value education. I was really lucky that I grew up in a town that had great public schools, and I was extremely fortunate that I was able to go to a private high school and that I went to a great college, right? But that they valued, like, in that moment, you know, my mom realized that what I needed more than, like, being in classes for that day was, like, a break, you know? And I feel really fortunate for that. Like, I mean, I'm 30 years old. This was, like, 2004, and I still, like, think back
remember
to, like, how
that, yeah,
how much, like, that, how much that memory.
Yeah. And it was a good movie to see, because it kind of teaches you, you know,
it was perfect timing.
Nice guys don't finish last.
Yeah. No, it's perfect timing. And, you know, when I did move out for three years, I lived, like, not even 30 minutes from my parents. Mm-hmm. And when COVID started, like, I went up, like, twice a week, you know? Mm-hmm. And before COVID, I mean, like, probably three times a month I'd go up, you know? And then COVID hit, I couldn't do anything else, so I would go up probably, like, twice a week. You know, I mean, how many nights did I stay over at their house and everything? And then I moved to Philly, and I'm, like, a little less than an hour and a half now, probably an hour and 20, hour and 15, maybe. But it's like, you know, Jordan, you know this, like, my parents are in town this weekend. Like,
yeah,
they came over yesterday, dropped the dog off. Me and Jonathan are dog sitting, you know, and then after Jordan and I head off, I'm going to, you know, going to Center City. We're getting brunch. So I still get to see them often. And that's, I saw awesome. Them, like, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago. Like, I stayed at their house for, like, two nights, you know? And I talk to them often, but it's definitely, like, and I'm so grateful to be in Philly, but I definitely, like, I'm like, oh, like, I kind of, you know, when I was younger, I never really understood why people would, like, didn't want to move far from their family. And now I'm like, oh, like, it is kind of nice that, like,
Yeah.
I can just see my family like whenever I want. It's a little, you know, it's a little harder now because it's a farther drive. It's like a much farther drive. And so I can't, you know, it's not as easy. Like if I have a bad day, I can just drive up and see my mom and the dog and everything, you know?
I think that's one of the things that I love the most. I live very close to my parents. So, I always wanted to move to California actually, but it's really hard for me because even my extended family, like my mom has 4 brothers and sisters, my dad has 5, and they all but like one of them, one of my mom's sisters lives in Indiana, and that's it. The rest of them live around like within like either Omaha, Fremont, like area close by, or Lincoln, like they all live just here. So it's always been so hard for me to move because I'm like, I'm gonna miss so much. Like everybody's here, so it's hard for me. But I always was the same. Like I always thought I might, like I would love to live in another city.
I wouldn't ever, but I like. It's just like I think about that a lot more now. I think.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, Jordan, do you have any like memories or stories specifically about Thank You Mom that you'd want to share?
My brother once wrote an acoustic song that he's a musician as well. He does not play as much anymore either as he used to, but he was in a band. They were called Anonymous, and he wrote a song that sounded so similar to Thank You Mom once. Like, it wasn't exact, and I told him about it. He's like, no, it doesn't. And I was like, yes, it does, though. It does sound like it. So I like that fun memory. I don't know. It's a great song, actually. But I always even liked it more because I was like, oh, it also reminds me of that song a little bit. I think he was like, he didn't want to admit it sounded like anything else. He's like, it's
right.
Yeah.
I like that.
I know that's and for like memories with the song, I mean, for me, like my whole family also loves the song Simple Man. That's kind of like my family's big song, I feel like. And I feel like this is kind of like that for me in a way. Like Simple Man, it's a lot also about a mom like telling her son, you know, helping her son realize what's important in life. And like I think that Thank You Mom does that as well. Like this is like a song that reminds me of Simple Man. It's
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I want to touch on other Good Charlotte songs this track relates to. And I have one in mind that I've listed here, but I'm curious if there's any that come up for you.
That it reminds me of?
Yeah. Or that it like shares, you know, any similar themes or anything.
Well, it's ironic, but like, I was gonna say like Wounded is also another super vulnerable song like this one is, but I feel like it, and it's kind of like a slower melody and thing.
It's different, but it's acoustic, it's a hidden track. Yeah
And it's a lot about expression. It's more about like how dealing with fame and stuff like that, so that's the kind of difference. But it's almost like a stepping stone, like this was like they're growing up, their stepping stone into fame, and then like what dealing with fame is like it's their vulnerable side about that. Yeah, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
but what I'm interested to hear what song it kind of draws you to. Or
you know, this, if you had asked me a couple of years ago, I would not have considered this song. But back in 2020, I had Chris Doughty from the Wasting Time podcast on the show. Just a little plug, everyone, please check out the Wasting Time podcast. Chris is great. He's had a lot of bands that you probably love. And he also drops like little Good Charlotte references everywhere, which is really fun. Like even on episodes that are not about Good Charlotte. I just love that because that's what I would do as well if I had a podcast that was not about Good Charlotte. But anyway, Chris and I discussed There She Goes from Cardiology, which like I had always thought was like, you know, like some like old girlfriend, like a former like first love. And we're reading reviews and we're talking about the lyrics and everything. And we talked about how maybe There She Goes is about the twins' mom. And
I bet it is.
That, you know, this realization that, like, maybe as they've grown and changed, it hasn't always been in, like, ways that would make her proud. I don't know. Obviously, this is, like, my interpretation.
That
kind of, like,
relates to the river as well, in
yes.
a way.
Oh, they talk yeah. about,
yeah. Yeah.
A praying and, mother and the worried father. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I feel like all of those, and I think I saw a tweet about that, about how that song There She Goes is about their mom, or probably yeah. about their mom. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, I think so. I was yeah. like, that makes even more sense. Well, and it's so good.
Especially with the context of, like, in different ways, Chronicles and Good Morning Revival were a lot about the pressures and the difficulties around fame, essentially, and Hollywood. And Good Morning Revival is, like, a very jaded album. And, you know, I think by Cardiology, they'd in some ways lost some of that, like, jaded and bitterness, but clearly they had, like, changed as people, you know. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I think there's something to that.
I do. Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny how, yeah, all the songs in a way, like, link to each other somehow, because it's all, yeah. you know, they wrote a lot of them, which, like, or almost all of them, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, you actually know who writes each song. Like, you know so much of the background. I think that's so interesting.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I look it up and I think it's relevant, you know?
Yeah, it is. Yes.
Well, we're going to get into some reviews. I do want to mention, I found a live acoustic video of the twins that played this song. It's super sweet. I watched it yesterday when I was making our notes. I wish I knew where it was from, though. Like, I wish I knew what performance that was.
Yeah.
It's a very, very sweet video.
Aww.
Yeah. So we're going to read a couple reviews and, you know, some retrospectives and articles and everything.
Okay.
So AllMusic gave the album 3 out of 5 stars. The band members all give profuse thanks to God in their acknowledgments in the CD booklet, and God also turns up here and there in the lyrics. Shesh isn't complicated, and in the hidden bonus track apparently titled Thank You Mom, You Showed Me How to Love My God. Religion can turn up in the strangest places, of course, but such remarks seem incongruous among lyrics that casually employ minor vulgarities and have a generally angry tone, performed by a group that favors tattoos and extensive piercings in its photographs. Good Charlotte can't quite be called a CCM group. CCM is contemporary Christian music. Good okay. Charlotte can't quite be called a CCM group on the basis of its debut album, but the band's songs definitely send mixed messages.
I think the mixed messages weren't, like, mixed messages. I think it was just them being human, because, like,
yes.
we all have, you know, we all have that, the side that's close to God in us, and we all have, you know, we all have our demons, and we all have, yeah, yeah.
The exactly. river or prayer.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
And we all are going to have, like, struggles where we get closer to God, or, like, times we're closer to God, and times where, mm-hmm. you know, we're living our life and we get busy, and that's we just need these reminders, like songs like that, like, you know. And yeah. and I think I like how they say your God, because it's like it's my God, because yeah. it's something like they're saying it's non-denominational. It's like, this is just, you know, like, what it is to me. I like you, yeah. you taught me how to love, you know. And I think that's awesome. I think that's, like, I think that's one of the best ways to be close to God. Yeah,
I love that you say that. And I want to be clear, like, I know that there's definitely people listening to this that, like, are just not religious, and they don't have any right. kind of spirituality faith, and, like, that's also completely okay. But
I
love what you say about how it's can be a very personal thing, and, like, I think it's so important to figure out if, you know, spirituality or faith, religion, like, if that's something important to you, and, like, not just, like, what does, you know, some text say, or what does some religion prescribe, but, like, what feels right to you, and right. what not what does, you know, some, you know, old dead white guy say God yeah. is or means or looks like, or once you do, but like, what do you believe? Like your beliefs are your beliefs.
Right. Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the coolest thing about it. I've always thought that. I've always thought that was cool.
Yeah. Next quote I'm going to read. So this was from another Rolling Stone article that was released in September 2002. And this was also written by Christian Horde, who also wrote that Polite Punks article. However, this was not the, like, on Rolling Stone. I saw this cited on a fan site, gcriotgirl9.tripod.com. Fan sites did that. They would like copy and paste articles, or like if an article was in print, they would like type it all up and like put it online, you know? I guess this is like a third hand source kind of, because first hand would be if the band was speaking to us. Second hand would be like an interviewer's like article about the band. And this is like third hand, like reported, whatever. But it's just an interesting story that mentions this song. Benji and Joel are grateful for their struggles, both as a band and as a family, and they haven't forgotten the impact they can have on kids going through the same kind of stuff. One kid came up to me and told me that her mom died, says Benji. She played the hidden track on her last record, Thank You Mom, at her funeral. I was like, whoa. Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, those are the times as an artist that you're probably like, what I'm doing does make a difference. Like, I think that's probably one of the feelings, like just what I'm doing does comfort someone, does, you know, I don't know. I think that's awesome. And I think that their music does that so much. I think that's why they have such the GC fam. That's why they have such a caring fan base, is because their music just, I mean, and it can speak to you in different ways. But I think like they kept it in a way that it could speak to you in different ways. I love the Dave Grohl quote, and I can't quite remember it exactly verbatim, but like he's talking about how you can sing a song or perform a song live and it can mean like something different to every single person.
Yeah.
And their songs are kind of like that. I mean, some of them, yes, get kind of specific about like their life and things like that. But you find it relatable. You find it comforting.
You know, because we've talked about, you know, and look, Jordan, like both you and I are you know, very fortunate that, you know, our parents are together. But, you know, you've mentioned, I mean, there's, you know, folks whose parents are not together and who would take a different approach or interpretation of this, who would take, you know, you were my mom, you were my dad, who will grab onto that. You know, you also mentioned the lines about you taught me how to love my God. I think that's such a great take that you have of like, no, she wasn't just like bring them to church. It seemed like she really taught them, you know, a certain approach to that.
Exactly.
So we're going to read a couple of retrospective articles. So this album turned 20 years old in 2020, and a couple of sites celebrated that. So Cryptic Rock. So this is in the context they were talking about Waldorf Worldwide.
I love that song.
Yeah. This raw, no holds barred vulnerability would be echoed throughout their debut, particularly in the hidden track Thank You Mom, which featured Benji on lead vocals. Does Benji sing lead vocals on the whole song?
I didn't think so.
I don't think so. I know sings Wounded, no. But this I think was like, I think you hear him more on this song than you do on some, but
yeah.
Anyway,
if that's true, I never knew that. So right? Mind blown.
A blatant love letter to their mom for having the strength to care for their family of five virtually on her own. The quasi-acoustic offering was a beautifully sincere note to immortalize her in words. Mm-mm. Yeah. Chorus.fm had a really nice retrospective, which, by the way, this was written by Adam Grundy, who we had on, I think it's episode 81 of the show, for the Generation RX retrospective. Adam is a music journalist out of Maryland, and I had so much fun talking to him.
That's awesome.
He's great. He says, other songs on the latter half of the LP included some slow burners, such as Screamer and their bonus track, Thank You Mom, which made for a tender moment to close out their debut album.
I have to say their EP might be my favorite, like, of all of their albums. It really, I got really into them when they made their, like, the Madden Brothers album. I got really into the Madden Brothers album. And then, like, another time where I just was more focused on listening to them was when they released Generation RX. Like, that was a big album for me. I listened to that a lot.
I can appreciate the Madden Brothers album a lot now. And there's a couple songs I've always liked from it, but I will say that when the Madden Brothers album came out, I think I listened to it like maybe twice. And then I just got really angry because I just wanted another Good Charlotte album. I like didn't want to listen to it for years.
That's awesome.
Well, I also want to mention a couple sort of hits this song had. Pop Culture Madness had a Mother's Day and Songs for Mama list that they included the song. And then Parade had a list, Get Your Tissues Handy, 40 Best Mother's Day Songs to Celebrate Your Mom. And they said, Good Charlotte twins Joel and Benji Madden were raised in poverty by a single mom and wrote this sweet song from their debut in her honor. Gem Tracks also had a list of top songs about gratitude. And they said, the lyrics of this song, the tune, the harmony, and the theme make it very personal. In this song, Good Charlotte talks about being thankful for their mom and the role of mom in their lives.
That's awesome.
It's so sweet.
It's so sweet.
I read a bunch of Amazon reviews of this song, which the Amazon reviews to me are like, I think those are particularly really fun because it's just like consumers, like listeners, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like they have a very different tone than like YouTube comments. Cause it's like consumers that are like reviewing and kind of telling people, should you buy or not? So I really like that. Not a whole lot of like substance. So there's only one quote I'm going to read, but I mean, a few people here are saying like, I played this for my mom at my wedding, or the mom saying their child played it for them. I think there was like a couple people saying, you know, oh, I work for a radio station and like got the CD, but this isn't right for the radio. I'm like, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
But one I will read, the song my son played for me at his wedding. Every mom should be so lucky and feel so loved.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I want to read some of the song meaning comments. They are kind of all over the place, but I think there's some really good ones.
Yeah.
Goober Jew said, this is a cool song. I really like them in general. I think it's stupid that people say, oh, they're not real punk, blah, 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 and don't like them because of it. Who cares if they're not like all the hardcore punk bands? They're still an awesome band and their songs don't all sound the same.
That's so true. They like barely sound the same. I love that.
Yeah. Hans Dude 84, which by the way, like I'm reading through all the comments of this song and so many people are like, yeah, Hans Dude 84, I feel the same. Some people that know me may not think I'd like a song like this. Most people think I'm only into hardcore shit, and they also think I'm a self-centered bastard because I carry myself like that and I'm a labeled prep, which that confuses me a little because I feel like a prep hardcore shit, whatever.
That guy's going through it. Like, whatever's going on.
But what most people don't know is that I'm a very sensitive person, very heartfelt, and a hopeless romantic. But this song is amazing. I played this for my mom, and she started to cry because she knows that I feel the same way as the song says. Really a great song.
It is.
Yeah. Liz68 said, so sweet. God, this makes me wish I was nicer to my mom.
Oh, well.
And
there's still time.
This one, that's not what I'm going to read. I think it points out something really cute. Raise Your Fist in the Air said, this song makes me think, maybe someday I will get along with her. Because right now I am going through that phase where everything I do it to piss her off. Maybe we will work through that. And I think about like this, I feel like this brought up so much for me because like, I mean, I would have been like 9, I think, when this album came out. I think I was 12 when I bought this album, when I first heard this album. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of people listening to this album for the first time, like, they're teenagers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of teenagers just, like, hate their parents. They try to piss off their parents. And I don't know, that juxtaposition, like, I'd be so curious, like, how many people had reactions like that.
That even just make them think, just, yeah, uh-huh. that it, the song just made them think, like, about how they were treating yeah. their mom. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, that's probably a lot.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Yeah. I think that's kind of what they wanted to do with it, too, aside from yes. thank their own moms. But, yeah. yeah.
No, that's yeah. such a good point, yeah. Smoozer, I won't read the whole thing, but Smoozer 19348 said, was talking about how their father passed away and, you know, how their mom just means a lot more to them now. East Coast Rider said that the song made them cry almost 6 times. It makes me feel kind of guilty because me and my mom don't have a good relationship and my dad left us too. And I just wish that I could feel the same way about my mom as Sweet Boys from GC do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it takes time to look back in retrospect, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. Canadia Forever says, hooray for people who aren't afraid to love God and be sensitive and loving and still be punk. That's all I have to say. Love God, love mom, love punk, love life.
That's awesome.
No, and I really loved her. And I really am just thinking about like what you were saying before of like how to love my God. Because I think a big thing in, and this ties to this comment, like a big thing in like punk is like thinking for yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of punk people, punk fans, punk musicians, you know, are very, a lot of them, and I get why, a lot of people are very anti-religion.
Or talking about it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I and, love that they weren't afraid to.
Yeah. And I get that because like, depending on how you were brought up and where you brought up, like, I feel like anyone I've ever met that's like an outspoken atheist,
mm-hmm.
almost exclusively, they were brought up in like a very religious home. Right.
Yeah.
Like, that does happen a lot. And, I feel like this song and this comment points to like, you can like have a relationship with God. You can have some sort of faith and still be punk. Like
mm-hmm.
it's about thinking for yourself. And as you were talking about, like figuring yeah. out like what you believe in and what that means yeah. to you. And like,
exactly. Yes.
Are you, you're going to pray every day or you're going to pray before and after meals. You're going to go to, are you going to go to a service on holidays or, you know, it, you know, is it important to you to, you know, eat a certain diet or follow certain customs for a religion, you know? Mm-hmm. But no, I am so glad that you brought that up about that line. Cause that's such a like nuance that I think is actually like so significant.
Yeah. I think so too.
That's so great. The last comment I'll read is from I Like Food. Good Charlotte is a walking contradiction. They're the epitome of everything the punk lifestyle is rebelling against. They sound just like every other group of trendy skating corporate tools you see on MTV these days. It's people like them that ate the punk scene.
Wow, I hate that comment. So
same. But you know what? Like I have to throw in like some negative comments, you know? Like,
yeah, you have to. Yeah. Yes. Balance yeah. out. Yeah.
But
get all the different perspectives from people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, talking about how you love your mom is not punk, you know? Talking about how you pray or you love God is not punk.
It is to me.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, it gets into, right, like, personal beliefs versus religion and, like, how do those intersect? How are they related? Like, are they the same thing? Are they different? I mean, I think there's a big difference. Like, they're not one and the same.
The whole thing to me is like, they weren't trying to say like, oh, we're punk. They were trying to say we're artists. Like yeah. they wanted to be loved for being an artist, not for necessarily fitting into a genre. And yes. I think all these people who apparently always just tried to tell them how punk they were, if they were punk or not, like, what, that was never their point. Like their point was to be an artist that thought deeper about things and about life and, you know, gave you different perspectives and you made you think, like, mm-hmm. I don't get people who are trying to like peg things. It's not, art's never been about that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like, I mean, listen to this album. There's like little things, which there's two songs in this album that take like Nirvana riffs, which is Little Things has like a Smells Like Teen Spirit riff. And then Let Me Go, I think it was like Sliver with like a bass line or something.
Okay.
You know, and then you have Waldorf Worldwide where they're kind of like rapping a little, like sort that. Of. You have Festival Song takes, has like a Sex Pistols reference, like, and then you have, you know, Seasons and Change and Thank You, Bob, you know, like it's, they're clearly not trying to fit in some kind of box on this.
No.
Like,
right.
You know, but that, you know, that was a big topic of discussion on the internet, like kind of early to mid 2000s of like, are you punk or like, are you just a poser? Like,
yeah, I know.
I don't know.
That had to be one of the hardest things about being an artist then. I feel like now people are more allowed to have whatever genre, you know, like it's artists are artists now a little bit more. And that's, that's awesome. That's how it should be.
I mean, not to sidetrack too much, but you know, I think Machine Gun Kelly is a great example that like, if he was doing what he's doing in the early 2000s, like, I think people would like hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, he's definitely gotten a lot of criticism.
Mm-hmm.
But also a lot of people love him. And I think there's more appreciation for him now than there could have been at a different point in time.
Yeah, that's true.
He's doing what he's doing, you know, like,
yeah.
Also, Machine Gun Kelly, Coulson, if you're listening to this show, we would love to have you on. I know you love Good Charlotte. I would love to have you on this show.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, Jordan, how has Thank You, Mom held up for you over time?
Well, it's just a song that does hold up. It's always going to be important. It's always going to be a staple. I think like of all the GC songs, this is one that's just definitely a staple song. It's a classic and it's not going to like over time get less important. It's always going to be important.
Yeah, I love what you said. And I think for me, I mean, look, they've all of these songs have held up well, right? That's why I'm doing this podcast. But I have taken just so much appreciation of like how kind of bold it was for them to do this song on their first album, like how bold that really was. Like it kind of showed that they like didn't really give an F.
I love that. Yeah.
And also that's just true. Taking a lot of appreciation, like you said, some of the nuances you've pointed out in this song, I feel like I've like noted that a little more. And it's you know, things that maybe, you know, what were they, 21 when this album came out, 19 when they recorded it, 1920 when they recorded it, you know, that, you know, 19, 20 year old Benji and Joel may or may not have like considered this, but you know, we as, you know, in our 30s can sit down and be like, okay, well, like I pick up on this, this, and this, and that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I love that. Yes.
Yeah. What has Good Charlotte meant to you over the years and how has that changed?
Well, I didn't tell you this yet, but I actually have a GC tattoo. And
what is your tattoo?
It's of my favorite song and it says make the best with what you're given. This isn't dying, this is living.
Yes. I love that. I love that. That's so cool.
That's my favorite song by them. And I mean, I have a lot. East Coast Anthems really up there for sure.
Yeah.
Waldorf Worldwide. I love Cold Song, but I mean, what they've meant, they've just been an inspiration to me my whole life. I mean, I think I loved like I have a lot of edgy, like I would have a lot of edgy thoughts. Like I felt like I would go against the grain sometimes of what, like I was always just at least like a little bit edgy, but I was always like, I had the things that were important to me that were obviously important to them too. And I think Thank You, Mom highlights a lot of that, like family and obviously my faith and like things like that. Those things have always been like most important to me. And I love that their songs are not afraid to like embrace that. I think a lot of artists are just like, there's a lot of artists who like to release songs that are negative and things like that. And I just think they always would find a way to, and like even the ones where they did struggle, it made you feel like understood in your struggles and things like that. So I think that's what's so cool.
Feeling understood, that's a big theme.
Yeah, I definitely think.
It's a big... Well, Jordan, do you have any last words about Thank You Mom, about Good Charlotte, or about yourself?
No, but I'm definitely trying to, I'm trying to write more at least, and things like that. So, hopefully I'll have, I actually wrote a book too. I only have two tattoos, and one's of like what my book is supposed to, I've started a couple books, but okay. There's one primarily that I'm gonna write at some, like release at some point.
Amazing. Well, I mean, tell me when you release it. I want to buy it. I want to read it.
Tell me,
you know, if you ever are able to record any music, put anything up on Spotify, I mean, let me know. Like, I'll share the hell out of that. Yeah.
Thank you. You're a light yourself. You're like such a pleasant person to be around, to talk to. And yeah, so.
This has been so awesome, Jordan. Like, I'm so happy we got to do this. Obviously, we'll stay in touch.
Thing I was gonna say that I almost forgot is like I really hope that after you cover every song or wrap up the main parts of the podcast, I hope the band jumps on and recaps some of their favorite things you've talked about and makes answers some of these lingering questions.
I really hope they do.
I sort of have
a million questions I would ask the band, if it is for the podcast was like, there's so much I want to talk about relating to Good Charlotte, but like, I know I couldn't get them to sit down for this much interviews. I think I'm just putting it out there, but like one thing I know I would have to ask them were I ever to get the band to come and like discuss with me is I would have to ask about The Fish and the Wart.
Okay.
Which is a song that probably exists and the lyrics are out there, but nobody seems to have a recording of it or really know what like the origins are.
I have never heard anything about this. Yeah, so you're blowing my mind.
I will look up the lyrics and I will text you the lyrics after this.
Oh, fun. Okay.
Amazing.
Yeah, something to look forward to.
Yeah, Jordan, this has been so awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Before we head out, I want to ask, so I have a Generation GC and Friends Spotify playlist. So I'm going to include Thank You Mom, and there's a couple other songs you've mentioned, but could you give me a recommendation, just anything you're listening to lately that's not Good Charlotte?
Okay, so I actually saw Yellow Card with Good Charlotte once, and they're kind of my second favorite band. So, because I love Dear Bobby, and my other favorite, but the one I've been listening to lately is You, Me, and One Spotlight. That's like my favorite.
Yeah, I've been on such a Yellow Card kick the past 2 weeks, so I'm like so stoked that you mentioned them.
Yes, they're awesome. I love it. Yes.
Well, Jordan, my final question for you, if people want to keep up with you on the internet, where can they keep up with you? Do you want to share any social media?
My Facebook, my music Facebook, if they want to like go look at, check out some of my old videos of cover songs and things like that, that I, have worked on. There's one original on there too, two originals on there actually too. Cool. It's at the Rock and Jordy on my at the Facebook. So Rock and Jordy Girl is kind of my nickname. It's funny, but it works. So
I like it.
Yeah.
Very fitting. Jordan, this has been so great. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Listeners, thank you for tuning in to episode 91. Last time, before our break, we had a bonus episode where we talked about My Immortal, the iconic and infamous Harry Potter fan fiction that featured several emo, goth, alternative, and punk bands, including Good Charlotte. On our next episode, we'll be talking about a song from The Young and the Hopeless. My name is Molly Huddleston. Once again, and as always, I am your host, as well as the producer, creator, and editor of this podcast. You can follow Generation GC at Generation GC Pod, P-O-D, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can follow me, Molly, at M Huddleston, M-H-U-D-E-L-S-O-N, on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you for tuning in. Please make sure to follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and rate, leave a review, but most importantly, tell your friends.